Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week. This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Let me ask you this, because I certainly do not buy the whole conspiracy that he was drug out in the snow after getting beat up by his friends and all that. That just doesn't make any sense any way you swing it. But I do wonder in this trial here of Karen Reed of... was there some weighting of the scales, some tipping of the scales by Proctor? Do you see anything in this from all the evidence we've seen that, yeah, they knew that Karen did this, but they really wanted to make sure that she went down for it and wanted to really put those odds in their favor? Now, they should have never done that if they did, and they didn't really need to do that if they did. But that's what I do wonder about. Not a conspiracy that they're hiding something that they did in terms of hurting John O'Keefe, but more so, we don't like her because we know her personality. We know how she's been with John's kids. We know how demanding she is. We know how kind of selfish she's been and just narcissistic and manipulative towards John. We heard that in a lot of the texts. And I could see someone going where he may be like, she is fucked, you know, because that obviously is what she said. But, you know, with a little bit of history and frustration and anger there, and maybe we're going to really make sure that she goes down for this. Maybe we are going to put some extra tail light over here or something. I'm not saying that that's what happened, but I am wondering if there was some tipping of the scales here that did not need to happen. Have you seen anything that leads you to think maybe some of that went on?
I haven't, only as an example. I know you were just throwing the tail light out as a situation, you know, a possibility, but the CERT team was on scene before 5 a.m. The vehicle wasn't in the Sally port until well after that. It's an impossibility if you look at that. I thought it was interesting that the jury asked for the CERT report. You know, I think they specifically maybe wanted to see some of that timelines. We know in the CERT report, they had the GPS coordinates of every piece they found. We know a scientist was able to take all of the pieces found and put it together in the puzzle of the missing taillight. And but for one small piece, I think it was in the left-hand corner, she put the whole puzzle together from what was on that lawn, from all those little pieces of fragmentation. So, but... this, I think, Tony, is to your point. It's inexcusable. First of all, who discusses, if you are an honorable police officer, an ongoing investigation with your high school buddies? I couldn't even discuss them with my husband.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't do it. It's so, it's just ethics 101. And he blew that all. And, you know, he was really, it was like gross locker room talk, talking about a head cheerleader that he didn't like or something. It was so outlandish and so unprofessional and so disturbing. And so no matter what, that's going to have a bad reflection on the investigation since he was the overall detective. Even though Bukanik was above him, even though he didn't do one thing without people around him, and he really didn't do much in terms of the collection of evidence. I agree with you. It's a total black eye. I personally think he's like Furman. His career is over. He needs to be looking for another job. That's what I think.
Yeah. What was your thought on the testimony that the defense brought in with the expert that really, you know, kind of walked up to the line of, you know, could have been a vehicle strike, might not have been. There's really not any clear evidence that this was truly a vehicle strike. they were very much, nobody came out and flat out said, this is a vehicle strike. It was like, could have been this too. Is there any way to truly see that clear cut that this was a vehicle strike? Granted, we do have the microscopic pieces in his clothing, which seems to be kind of the silver bullet here of how do you argue that part? But the other parts, they really can't get that close to a sure definition on.
Well, you have that silver bullet, and you have several other little silver bullets. Mm-hmm. You have his hair, one of them at least, that stuck to that quarter panel. You have the drink that he had in his hand scattered around him, broken. Mm-hmm. You have the straw from the waterfall there as well. You also have his DNA on the taillight. These are huge situations that to me, it's forensics. You can't overcome it. Another item is that his cell phone never left a particular circumference, mm-hmm. and never went in the house, period, end of story. That wasn't even really argued. So Tony, for all of those looking at this case, I think for those who intellectually are fact finders, you have to look at the forensics, mm-hmm. and the things that don't have opinions.
Yeah.
And fragmentation in the shirt doesn't have an opinion. It's not me going out here saying, well, if you're 6'2 and you get hit, which there's a great diagram of all of that, which by the way, they did show a great presentation, and you get hit and your hands up like this, this is going to hit the tail light, mm-hmm. and everything's going to splatter. But nevertheless, it's hypothetical.
Yeah. Yeah. And so much of it is in this case. But that to me, the tail light embedded in the clothing, I mean, in theory, and I'm not saying they did, in theory, one could take pieces of tail light and plant them. That's not that hard to do. I'm not saying they did. But microscopic pieces embedded in a shirt, that I think would be a little more difficult to make happen and then suddenly be part of the crime scene itself.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.